On this episode of the Real Life Carry podcast, I'm joined by the one and only Mike Szabo. Szabo discusses his recent experience at the Pebble Beach AT&T Pro-Am, where he once again joined up with Team Streelman Fitzgerald. We then move on to a debrief of my trip to Scottsdale for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. It was quite the week, and I play a number of short interviews I recorded with a bunch of tournament spectators, including a Thunderbird, my wife, and several podcast listeners. We have a couple of short caddy stories before turning our attention to the main talking points from the professional game. We end the episode with a bell end of the week, proposed by a fellow caddy and listener. If you have any questions, opinions, or comments, please send them in on social media or via email. podcast@glorifieddonkey.com. Feel free to head back through the catalogue and catch any episodes you may have missed. And please feel free to share the podcast with any golfing friends or family. In the meantime though, please enjoy this episode. Episode 85. It's called The Shit Show in Scottsdale. A little bit different, this one. I am joined by Szabo.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming along. We're not in the bar today. We're back in, actually, back in my apartment. So, back in my flat. Szabo, how's it going?
It's going good. Are you happy to be home? Happy to be out of that madness that was Scottsdale?
I am. I'll just let the listeners know what we're going to do. We'll start off, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the AT&T.
Oh yeah, big tournament.
Haven't really seen you since then. I've got some facts about the Phoenix, because it went AT&T, then it went the Waste Management from Phoenix, the Phoenix Open. And I have a bunch of 1 to 2 minute interviews with several people that I met in Scottsdale at the tournament.
Nice.
And then we'll move on from there. So first of all, AT&T.
AT&T. I mean, AT&T was back in full swing. There was the amateurs were back in town, you know, and it was certainly amateur hour. And but caddy hospitality was back. It was sponsored this year by Chipotle. I don't know if you remember. I sent you that picture of El Cheapo. El Cheapo. Yeah. You know, caddy dining is separate from players dining, but El Cheapo saw an opportunity for some free Chipotle, and Kuchar kind of walked over and started getting in the Chipotle line. I'm like, you mother.
How ironic that El Cheapo goes for the Mexican food when he didn't want to pay.
I know. Pay his Mexican caddy.
These guys have got lobster and sirloin steak in the players' line, and he's coming over for free Chipotle.
Well, you know, he likes Chipotle, and he usually has to pay for it, and he saw an opportunity for free Chipotle, and he jumped at it.
Was it burritos and stuff all
week? It was like the whole menu. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Okay.
Chipotle all week. They sponsored the cat every day. It was awesome.
Oh, I'd get bored of that.
Well, your stomach would get bored of that for sure.
I tell you, there's another part of your body that might get bored of it as well.
What's that?
There's another part of your body that might get bored of it.
Oh, it did.
Japanese flag. So tell me about the tournament. Tom Hoagie won it.
It was a great win for him. It was not a good year for Szabo and Team Streelman Fitzgerald.
Yeah, poor. Yeah.
It was, well, I mean, we started off, it was ridiculous. I got so many texts after the first day because we started off and we were leading alone again. So we had a solo lead after the first day. And I told my wife, I'm like, here we go again. Looks like we're going to win another AT&T. And then it was...
Downhill.
Oh, it was ridiculous. I mean, probably 20 rounds I've been in tournament play with these two guys, and I've never once seen Kevin Streelman shoot an over par round. He shot 77 at Spyglass, the worst round I've ever seen him play. And actually, he's just in kind of a bad spot right now. He's not playing very good golf. He's missed 3 out of his last 4 cuts, so I'm hopeful he gets it back. But it was downhill for Streels on day 2, and even more downhill for Larry. It was bad.
Poor.
It was bad, but we had fun. I mean, he's made the cut, I think, 4 out of the 6 years I've been with him. So, I mean, it's not that's a tough tournament for the amateurs to make the cut. And it was the first time Streelman's been out of the top 13 in the past 6 years. So,
were you reading putts for both guys again?
I was. Not at Monterey at Spy and Pebble. Spy, I mean, it didn't really matter for Streels. He was not hitting a lot of greens. He double hit a putt. I mean, it was. I know. I'd hate to call him out. It was sitting on the fringe. It was kind of in a depression. And he short-sighted. I mean, he had a couple of chunk chip shots. It was just very un-Streels-like. It was just not a good week, but hopefully he gets it back together. But man, it was rough.
Is there a penalty for double hitting?
So they changed that law. They changed that rule where there's no penalty for a double hit. So you can actually double hit it and it counts as one stroke, but it's not like he hit it once and then the second hit was very much better. The second hit only went about 4 feet too. So he still had like 15 feet for his double bogey after he double hit it.
I did know that they changed the rule if you hit it a wedge, because it's usually we see people double hit with a wedge or a flop.
Yeah, you don't see the putter double hit too often.
Never seen. I don't believe. I'm sure with all the hacks that I've carried for over the years, I have seen it, but nothing comes to mind. So decent week though. Fun.
It was super fun. It's always. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's one of my favorite guys to caddy for. He is literally the most humble man I've ever met and the nicest guy I've ever met, and I can literally do no wrong during the week. It's just a world of difference for a lot of people's AT&T loops, because AT&T for most people is just dreadful. Most amateur caddies out here, you have just these assholes who really want to play well and care about it. Larry really doesn't care, to be honest with you.
We'll have Kipana tell us about his experience at some point in the next month or so, because
I talked to a couple of guys about it, and it seems like it's very common that it's just not a very fun tournament. I got really lucky, and we were paired with Keith Mitchell and Josh Allen, which was Josh Allen is, I don't know if you're familiar, because you're not really.
He is a quarterback for the Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. And surprisingly, you hooked me up with a loop about 2 months ago. The guy you hooked me up with is one of your clients.
Oh, easy now.
One of your regulars. I know, one of your regulars. But anyways, I know. Yeah. I don't really use that term anymore. But anyways, so he brought out Josh Allen's father, who was a prospective client of his in the seed business or whatever.
That's right.
So I see Josh Allen on the first tee. This is the first time I met him. I'm like, hey, Josh. I was like, Mike Zabo, I'll be in your group this week. He's like, oddly enough, I caddied for your dad about 2 months ago. Caddied for your dad, Joel. And he's like, you mean him over there? I'm like, oh, Joel. His dad was caddying for him the whole week. So he's like, yeah, that's the caddy I was telling you about at Spyglass that helped me.
Listen, nice lad, but another guy bringing, you know, a family member.
But honestly, I ended up helping Josh out a little bit.
Of course you do. But, you know, it means you're then working for everyone. I don't know. I just don't get that.
But and it's Josh Allen, class act. It was a fun week. Good player.
I was busy, so I didn't really watch much. I did watch the ending on Sunday, and it was incredible. Don't know if you watched it.
Not really. I was kind of over it at that after missing the cut.
Jim Nance and Nick Faldo, Sir Nick, they could not hide their disappointment at Jordan Spieth not winning this thing. It was brilliant. The humble pie was just oozing out of the players' lounge.
Oh, of course.
They were so excited with 6 holes to go, and then Hoagie comes through.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't. It's unbelievable. They do it all the time. They have so many favorites.
Oh.
The top players, their favorites are favorites.
They love to see Bryson. Look at how far Bryson's hitting it. Yeah. That's all they want to talk about when Bryson plays. Yeah, but he's 6 shots back of the lead. And I mean, come on, who cares?
But no, it was good. So we then move on to the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
A big one you actually attended.
Yeah, well, in a way I did.
Well, Glorified Donkey attended.
Yes, Glorified Donkey. So I've been planning this for about a year, actually. Yeah, I meant to go last year, but there was no fans.
Talked about it a lot.
The Phoenix Open, right? It started in 1932, and it went all the way through to 1935. Now, for people that aren't from America, Phoenix is in Arizona. So it's about a 12-hour drive from here in California. They discontinued it for a couple of years, but it was restarted in 1939. And recent sponsors, it was known as the FBR, which is some investment banking or some sort of finance company. Gotcha. I don't know what the FBR stands for, but since 2010, it's been Waste Management, who are a garbage, rubbish disposal, biggest company.
Waste Management.
Huge, huge, huge company. Okay. It used to be played at Phoenix Country Club. And then it was shared every alternate year with Arizona Country Club until about 1975. And since 1987, it's been at TPC Scottsdale. So TPC Scottsdale was built for this type of event. I believe it was actually built for this in mind. It is a natural amphitheater.
It's like one of the greatest spectacles in professional golf as far as, you know, the fan base that comes to watch it. And the famous 16th hole.
Yeah, you have record crowds. I don't know. I think it's over 1 million people over the week now.
Crazy.
Someone told me that the fire chief, they used to announce how many people had attended each day. And the fire chief had a word with them and said, please don't mention that because you only have a certificate for 150,000 people. Yeah. And you're telling us that we've had 250,000, blah, blah, blah.
Well, so, you want to announce something else? How many arrests you made? That's probably about 150,000 too. So
it's so big, they actually have concerts at what they call a bird's nest as well. That happens the week before and most nights during the event.
That being the 16th hole, you're saying?
No, the bird's nest is, I think it's over towards the other course because there are two courses there.
Gotcha.
So they have DJs at the 16th. It's known as the Coliseum, and it's the biggest crowd in golf at one hole.
Yeah, crazy.
If you go to YouTube, you can check out the famous Tiger Woods hole-in-one.
Which was probably even... Who made that? Was it Seamus Power that made the hole? Who made the hole-in-one this year?
Sam Ryder.
Yeah.
And Ortiz.
Oh, man. That was crazy to watch. I mean, the booze and the water, hopefully water flying onto the green.
I think there's probably a lot of urine going out there as well. I know if it was in Scotland, it would be that. But what I did, I was out there, so the whole idea was to go out to Scottsdale, pitch the tent. So I have this glorified donkey tent. Yeah, exactly. Pitch a tent and hand out cards, sell hats, t-shirts, and basically increase the profile of the podcast. So what I did was I actually took my handheld and I interviewed a bunch of people while I was there. So I am going to play those just now. They're little short 1 to 2 minute interviews with mostly drunk people. So hopefully you enjoy that and we'll come back and discuss more after. Okay, so I'm standing on the corner of a very busy street and I've bumped into...
Alex.
Now, he's actually a podcast listener, aren't you?
I have a big podcast listener for the last 2 years or so now.
Oh, lovely. Did you see the tent and just go, oh...
I did. I saw the tent and went a little bit cold, came running over, and here you are. So awesome to finally meet you.
Yes, fantastic. Thanks for coming over. Is this the first time you've been to the Waste Management?
It is. First time. We're here for a boys' trip, and looking forward to seeing some good golf.
A boys' trip? Did anyone bring their girls? Or?
No girls allowed. So, you know, a few of the married men will be misbehaving, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's an absolute rule we have in golf, is don't bring your bird to... a boys' golf trip.
That's a bird. I like that expression. Yeah,
oh, you'll understand that. Now, where are you originally from?
Originally from England, just outside of London.
Right, and where do you live now?
I live in Washington DC.
Okay.
And you're from Scotland?
Yeah, Scotland, mate. Yeah.
I detected a bit of an accent there. Yeah.
So, boys' trip is a special occasion, birthday, or what's going on?
It's actually a bachelor party.
Oh.
I told him don't do it. But he's going to go ahead and get married anyway. So there's 15 of us.
I thought you were going to say don't do it, as in don't come here. But you were saying don't get married.
No, don't get married. Don't get married.
Okay, so obviously the boys are looking forward to some golf. I don't believe that at all.
No, I think they're more here for the booze. There's some pretty nice looking women from just peering around at the entrance here. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot more on the plate than just the golf.
Excellent. Well, listen, Alex, thanks for coming over. Thanks for jumping on the podcast, and have a great and safe weekend.
Yeah, awesome. Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Day two, Waste Management. I'm here with wee Brian.
Hey, hey.
Brian, you're back. You're from Monterey.
Yes, I am. In Scottsdale now, though. I love it.
Yeah, you've been helping us out all week, throwing out cards, selling merchandise, putting up the tent. What have you thought about today?
I think it's been a great turnout. A lot of pretty girls, a lot of cold beers.
Always with the birds. We moved location today. What do you think?
Oh, much better. Way more traffic. Get to talk to a lot more people. Yeah. Just overall better experience for sure.
Yeah. What has the reaction been? Have you been happy, sad, angry at some of the reactions from people?
A little bit of everything. Mostly positive. Couple D-bags here and there, but that's to be expected.
Well, anyone in particular?
Yeah, that one guy, the nope.
Yeah, guy walks by, two couples, and we're very nice about it. We're saying, hey, anyone listen to podcasts? And what is it?
Nope.
Now, we both wanted to tell him to go,
Well, yeah, there was a couple ladies present, so we decided to hold our tongue.
Fun so far. A little hot?
Just a little. Not too bad.
What was the temperature last week?
Not like this.
68.
This week it's what, 80, 85? Oh, we're just watching someone just run across the road. Oh.
Ballsy.
Excellent. Well, listen, Brian, thanks very much. We might have a little something tomorrow because tomorrow's a much bigger day.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Actually, remind everyone where you work here.
Oh, the Italian Daughter in Pinnacle Peak. Beautiful little Italian restaurant. Come see me anytime you need.
Yeah, so if you're in Scottsdale, make sure and go to it.
The Italian Daughter.
And ask for wee Brian. All right, I'm standing here with Doug Moore.
Moore. Of evenpar.com.
Evenpar.com, you want to check it. He's here with his boys. What are your names?
Aaron.
Drew.
Richard.
A-Train.
You design all this gear?
Oh, yeah. We're not. The waste management. Garbage trucks, man. I mean, who doesn't want to go out there in the garbage trucks?
In a green, yellow, and white. I mean, that's what we do. We come out here, we're not going to watch... We're going to watch golf, but we're also going to look good at the same time.
You look really good. So basically what I'm going to describe is a white shirt with the trash truck, green and yellow. It looks like Green Bay Packers.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, we love the Green Bay Packers. Go Aaron Rodgers.
I love Aaron Rodgers.
Number four. But anyways, I mean, we've been doing this for 10 plus years. Waste management, I mean, garbage truck. Even Par is trying to take over, getting their local, you know, atmosphere, and that's all I got.
Love it. Well, I obviously have the podcast, so I think we'll have you on at some point.
Yeah.
You can give me your number. Were you drinking today?
Oh, yeah. Drank a lot today. We started at 6 a.m. at my house.
Uh-huh.
Local guy started off, 60 guys. 60 guys started off at my house. They had the largest party bus in Arizona pick us up at 7. Got here at about 7:30 and won 16 hole, got kicked out. So here we are now.
I know you're heading off to work. Is that right?
No, not quite.
You're an Uber driver.
I'm not an Uber driver. I'm going home to watch the rest of the Open and drink more beer.
Perfect. Okay, well, listen, thanks for stopping by. We will talk to you at some point in the podcast,
yes,
okay?
Sir.
Cheers,
absolutely.
Mate.
Absolutely. Cheers, mate.
Okay, so what's your name?
Tom.
Tom what?
Tom Brennan.
And where are you from?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, nice one. So you're at home?
This is home.
Yeah. How many times have you been to this event?
Third.
Third? You enjoy it?
Yeah. Actually, we've been to the one that used to be down in Phoenix Country Club.
Oh, wow.
Many moons ago.
Yeah. Beautiful weather right
now.
Beautiful
weather.
Were you drinking today?
A little.
Uh-huh. And who's winning the golf?
Have no idea.
Brilliant. Excellent. Tom, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
What's yes. your name? My name's Rodrigo.
Rodrigo. Okay. You're at the tournament today?
I was at the tournament today.
And?
We got kicked out.
What'd you get kicked out for?
What would you guess we got kicked out for?
Drunken behavior.
That's right. It was drunken behavior.
Did you peel your shorts down or something?
Say that one more time in an American accent so I can understand you.
Did you pull your shorts down?
No shorts down.
No. So you just...
Do you want me to pull my shorts down?
Right, if you want, go for it. listen, were you just... was there a group of you?
Yes, there was like 10 of us.
10 of you, and were you just, what, shouting, screaming?
No, not a lot of words, just stupid things that we did, like actions, not words, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Are you a big golf fan?
Yes, I like to golf.
Okay. And who's winning the golf tournament right now?
Last I looked, it was Patrick Cantlay, but that was probably 2 or 3 hours ago.
2 or 3 hours ago. So you're not really here for the golf. You're here more...
I like golf, okay. but we were there for the party. We were on hole 16, you know. Hole 16's it's fun. It's a fun event.
And you live here in Arizona?
No, I'm from Colorado.
Oh, you are? Where in Colorado?
Scotland. Scotland, Colorado.
You're joking. There's a place called Scotland in Colorado.
It's north of Denver.
Oh, wow. I'm from Scotland in Scotland.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Scotland what?
Well, just like Glasgow in Scotland. It's actually a town called Maybole, but you won't know that.
The country? You're from the country,
Yeah, I'm
Scotland?
From the country, Scotland.
Wow, oh my God. That's amazing.
It's blue and white like your shirt.
No way.
Are you going to be a new podcast listener?
I would love to. What's the name of the caddy? This one right
That's
here?
In there. What's it called?
The Real Life Caddy Podcast.
There you go, dude. So you're not that drunk.
What's that?
You're not that drunk.
Drunk enough to get kicked out.
There you go. Well, listen, well done. Nice to meet you and have a great and safe night.
Right on.
We have someone's come up. What are you wearing? Grizzlies? Vancouver Grizzlies?
I am wearing a Memphis Grizzlies uniform. I've come here to confess.
Okay, what's your name?
Connor.
Oh, Connor, Irish. Shocking.
It is, yes, that is for sure. I'm born and raised here, but it's from Illinois area. However, it is an Irish name, so. Yeah.
Now, you're friends with Rodrigo?
Rodrigo. I think it is Rodrigo. I couldn't tell you his exact name, but I believe it is Rodrigo.
Okay.
He was just very angry with me because I got us kicked out.
Okay, what did you do to get kicked out?
So we were sitting on 16, and there was a porta-potty area under us, and somebody yelled up to us, "Hey, catch this water bottle." So, of course, I mean, I'm not going to turn that opportunity down. I want to show them how good my hands are, and I did. I caught that bottle, of course, and next thing you know, he wanted his water bottle back, and it was a full water bottle. I will give him that. So I threw it back down, and about 30 minutes later, next thing you know, there were three cops that came up, and granted, they were doing their job. I understand that. But kind of got thrown under the bus there. I was just giving him back his water bottle. I don't want anybody to dehydrate. I'm just looking out for the people. You know, I'm a people person. And, yeah, that's what happened. They got mad at me for throwing the water bottle down. They gave us two options. It was either, hey, you need to get off the 16th hole or we will remove you on our own. And we did just that.
Well, when you returned the water bottle, was the liquid yellow?
It was not yellow. I made sure to check. I actually was about to take a drink of it, and I just wanted to give him back his water bottle. Again, okay. People person, made sure everybody's hydrated.
Not a boy.
Not yellow water, though.
Very responsible golf goer.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm a very diehard Brooks Koepka fan. Didn't even get to see him today because he was about four or five groups back. But, you know, I did something wrong, and I'm going to take ownership on it.
Well, that's good for you. Well done, Connor. Confessional corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
And excellent.
We're getting out of here now, but we're just going to go drink more beer and do what we were doing up there, just at a different venue.
Yeah, try and stay in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Thanks, Connor.
Yeah,
you have a great night,
so
mate.
Thank you so much.
Wait a
much
second.
Much love.
What's your name?
Sorry, my name is Christian. Yeah, I'm Christian. Talking to the boy.
Brian.
What's your name?
I yes. And a B. Yes.
Not Ryan.
Okay.
Brian.
And you boys don't know each other.
Yes.
Excellent. Where are you from?
I'm from Orange County, Costa Mesa.
All right, yes. Okay. Yeah. You're here for the golf?
Yes, I'm here for the golf.
Big golf.
But now I might have found a new passion of selling fucking hats, to be honest, because they're so fucking good.
Yeah.
And this guy is bumming me out that he did not buy one.
I know, I know. He's letting the team down.
He is leading. Hey, you are letting the team down.
Brian with an I and a B.
What?
Come on, Brian.
How are you?
You think so? You think I'm?
Yes.
I think you should.
Am I doing this poorly?
Brian.
No, you're
Brian,
great.
Brian,
you're great.
You are doing great, Brian, but you would be doing better in a scratch drinker cap. That is what I'm saying.
That's basically it. Check magnet, Brian.
Are you gonna
the
drop?
The birds are gonna love it.
Are you from the Southern Hemisphere by chance?
No, I'm from Scotland. Yeah.
What? My daughter's name is Aberdeen.
Oh, I used to live in Aberdeen.
What?
As Trump's, yeah.
Now, is Abby.
Now you have to buy a hat,
no
bro.
No way. Okay, now got it.
Oh,
which one? You pick it out for me. Whatever you got.
Is it for you?
Okay, this is it. This is the beauty of golf fans having a drink. So late Friday afternoon, we've come across another podcast fan.
How are you? This is a great day.
Yeah. What's your name?
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith. Mike Smith may not be his name. You've been here all week?
All week.
Doing what? Enjoying the golf?
What? There's a golf tournament here?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're sober.
Kind of.
Seemed like sober. So what were you here for?
A little sober. The party, of course.
The party?
Yes.
The women?
The women. Multiple women. Every hole. Unbelievable.
That's why you're wearing very dark glasses.
Exactly. Can't let them see the eyes.
Oh, yes. I don't want to see the eyes. Otherwise, was it fun?
Unbelievable. It's great to learn about the Real Caddy podcast. Appreciate you guys being out here and great merchandise.
Thanks very much for stopping by.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, what's your name?
Michael Finley Madden.
Michael Finley Madden.
Jamie Madden.
Excellent. And you guys are podcast listeners.
We are, yeah, from Chicago, man. But we found you. We love it.
Yeah, you just found the tent and saw it. Come say hello.
Yeah, we saw and we were like, we gotta see this guy. So we stopped and came to say hi.
And where are you gonna head to?
We're going to 16. We're here for 36 hours and we're gonna do it the best we can. So I think ground zero.
Just go and get lit up.
Lit up. I'm all about it. This is my day.
Excellent. Well, the weather's great.
We've been listening to you for like 9 months. We found your thing and we literally, the rickshaw was like, that's the podcast, that's the caddy guy, and we're like, no way, like that's the person. So we came over here first to find you. I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah, we kind of get ballsy with where we're located today. You know, grease a couple of palms and you know the cops are all happy. No one's told us we can't be here.
I love it.
Well, listen, folks, thanks for stopping by. Have a great day at the tournament, and don't drink too much.
Okay, maybe.
No, thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right, so what's your name?
Hi, Chris Hollenbeck with the Thunderbirds.
Excellent. Thunderbirds, you're from Arizona?
From Arizona, yep.
Excellent. Please, for the people, the listeners that don't know what a Thunderbird is, can you tell us what they are?
Yeah, so the Thunderbirds is a charity organization of 55 guys that puts on the Phoenix Open. The largest, and it's a full charity group, so all the money that comes from this tournament goes all to Arizona charities. So this tournament is the by far largest golf tournament and the largest sporting event in the world. We'll have about 1 million people come through these gates this week. It'll raise about $72 million in revenue, and then at the end of the day, profits after everything, about $14 or $15 million will all be spread around to Arizona charities in need.
Why do they use the name Thunderbirds?
It's been around since 1937, well before I was born, so I really don't know the answer to that.
Okay, I'll find out and let people know why. What do Thunderbirds do?
The Thunderbirds, all we do, this is our main event, but we host a bunch of other youth programs to help out golfers coming up through golf. But the main thing is to try and put on one of the biggest parties in the country.
So you just drive around all week and, you know,
party and make sure everyone here is having a great time.
Now, you have an interesting attire. It looks like something from maybe Lord of the Rings or Christmas time helping Santa.
Yep. Again, it's tradition, and it's been around for 60, 70 years, and it's never stopped, and it's a pain in the ass when it's this hot out to wear. So.
And are you here all week?
All week. We've been here since last Saturday. We threw a big concert on the famous 16th hole. And up here all week, Monday through Sunday, just helping everybody out, showing them a good time.
That's brilliant. Excellent. Well, Chris, thank you very much for spending a couple of minutes with us, and enjoy the rest of the week.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. It's getting late on Saturday afternoon. All the troops are coming out. I'm here with the wife, Natalia, very keen Real Life Carry podcast listener.
Yes, I listen to each podcast several times in a row.
Boosting the numbers. Thank you. You're out here with me all week, handing out cards, slinging swag. How are you feeling this afternoon?
It's gotten a lot better. Everything is it's incredible out here. I have to say, I've seen things that I've never seen before, behavior I've never seen before.
Like that girl squatting behind the cop car?
That was something I have never seen before, yeah.
That's how I met you.
No.
Tell us about the guy that's next to us.
Well, there's a guy that's throwing signs around and trying to hit people. And
he's not trying to hit people, he's trying to swing it around and wire. But he is hitting people now.
Yeah, he's kicking up dust, and I'm not quite sure, but he keeps asking people for hits of LSD. So
he's drugs are for mugs.
Things are getting weird, guys.
Yeah, we need to pack things up hopefully in the next couple hours. Thanks for helping.
Oh, always.
Okay, I'm with a couple here. What are your names?
Johnny.
Melanie.
Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I'm sure you were holding hands with someone else going this way earlier on. There was a dude, though. How was the golf today?
That was awesome. Great weather.
Who's leading?
It's a four-way tie, actually. There's a couple of guys.
In 3 days, you're the only person that's known who's actually winning the golf.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I would have guessed Kepka. Here.
Oh, Arizona, okay. Yeah. Just bought some hats, T-shirt.
We did, and we plan on wearing them at the Masters next.
Yeah. How was the behavior in there today? Were you impressed?
It was mild.
Yeah.
It seems like a mild
tame.
Crowd.
Yeah, pretty tame.
Did you see the hole in one at 16?
We were on 17 green and honestly didn't even hear it.
Really? Because people are texting me, go, did you hear this whole one? I didn't hear anything.
Couldn't hear anything.
It was nothing we heard.
Okay. And we were on 16 when Molinari had the hole in one in 2015.
Okay.
And the place went bananas, and you heard it all over the place. That's how big it has gotten to where we're on 17 green, 300 yards away from 16. We didn't hear a peep.
You couldn't hear a peep. Okay, what are the plans this evening?
We're going to keep the party going.
Yeah, 19th hole.
Date night.
Excellent. Well, listen, thanks for stopping by, and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, so I just bumped into?
Tabitha,
what's your last name?
Gervin.
Your last name's Gervin.
It's Gervin.
Now, you just asked me where I'm from.
Yep.
I'm from Scotland.
Okay.
You asked?
I did.
You then asked me where?
Where are you from?
Yeah, and I said, well, I moved on. I said, you tell me that your ancestors are from?
Gervin, Scotland.
That's where my parents are from.
That's the coolest shit I've ever heard.
Why did your ancestors leave?
Okay, so the story that I've been told my whole life is that my ancestors actually founded Gervin, Scotland, but then they
bullshit.
were But then they were such assholes that they got kicked out of their own town of Girvan. So
I've heard a story about them, and actually it was sheep shagging too many sheep. Okay, and that's something they had to stop when they came to America.
Yeah.
But did you enjoy the golf today?
I sure did, yeah.
Who's leading?
I know Kopka was up, and I know... Oh, shoot, who else was up?
You were there for the drink, weren't you?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, perfect. Well, listen, thanks for stopping by, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, you too.
So there you go, Mike.
That was interesting. There didn't seem to be a ton of golf fans in there. It seemed to be a lot more... More alcohol fans, and I like how you lead them in. I love the question. So who's winning the tournament? Just because you're kind of saying, are you a golf fan? And
that's it. What you have to realize about this is it's a huge party, and one in six people, maybe are. I was obviously scanning crowds, looking for people with certain golf attire. It was an incredible amount of girls.
Yeah, well, because the interview with what was his name, but the bachelor party was there.
Yes.
So they did the bachelor party. I'm like, wow, why would you do a bachelor party at a golf tournament? I'm like, ah, they were bird watching.
Bird watching. they're wearing short skirts and stiletto heels.
Arizona.
And they're having to walk up this hill. So the tent originally I pitched the tent at a place called the Buzz Eatery. So it's in a place called Kierland. It's about 1.2 miles from the golf course.
Not too far.
It's not too far, but we quickly realized on day one, no traffic. We need to be up close. So there's a Cadillac dealership right across from the 18th tee.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kind of a viaduct, dam, river in between, and there's a big crossroads. So I'd no idea what I was doing, because you don't know if the police are going to have a problem, if Cadillac were going to have a problem, if someone from the city was going to turn up and tell you to leave. And we pitched our tent on one side of the crossroads on Thursday. We only caught about a quarter of the traffic, though. So we then moved it to another part so we could pick
bolder
up
and
half.
Bolder, yeah.
Oh, I'll get bolder and bolder. Yeah. And then I just decided on the Saturday I'm going to go and speak to these cops and say, hey, listen, I'm just going to pitch my tent here tomorrow. At which point they went, okay. And I gave them a free scratch drinker hat.
So there you go.
Greasing palms.
That's what we do.
And the Saturday, ultimately, we caught all the salmon that were going both up the way and down the way. And boy, was it a sight.
I bet.
We saw so much in the way out, but one thing that caught the mind was what I mentioned about the girls squatting. There was a bunch of young girls came up. Now imagine we have our tent. Right behind us is an unmarked police truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a huge camera keeping an eye on traffic and the crowds. And I'd spoken to these two cops, and this group of girls come up. They didn't look any more than 20, but what do I know?
Yeah.
They squat behind the truck.
All of them?
Yeah, and start taking a pee.
How many?
There's about four of them. Pull the dress up.
Wow.
Panties down, off they went.
That's bold.
So there's 300, 400 people watching this, right?
Wow.
Everything's in plain sight. This is 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, not the time to do that.
The cop, she looks in her mirror and sees what's going on, lights it up, sirens, lights, everything.
I'm not letting this slide.
And two of the girls didn't even stop, didn't even flinch. I don't think they even realized.
Once you're going, you got to finish.
Mid-flow, finished off, waved to the crowd.
Wow.
And then off they went. And
They didn't get a citation or
nothing.
Anything?
Wow. Well, you see that you'd mentioned how many arrests.
Yeah, that's
they
the
don't
least
arrest
of their
people.
Problems. Yeah.
They were traffic cops. So when Natalia was talking about the guy who was next to us.
Yeah.
So obviously we'd worked really hard for this. We'd found the best spot in the house. And around about that same time, 2 o'clock, this guy turns up in this old beat up car and he starts taking brats. So there was a bin, like a trash bin and a recycling right next to us.
Yeah.
Or maybe 20 yards away. So he stops next to that and he's dressed like he's obviously a junkie
of
some sort.
Happens out there, yeah.
A tweaker over here, they call him.
Yeah.
He's filthy. And he starts taking branches out of the back of his car.
Branches?
Yeah, like branches, like tree branches. and starts dumping them. And I thought, he's fly tipping, you know, he's emptying his car. He's been doing some gardening or something.
Yeah, he's been doing something.
Then he starts taking water out in a cooler, and then I realized he was there to set up. And he, you know, he could have gone anywhere, and he decides to go right next to us. The crazy junkie ends up right next to us, and he had a bunch of these signs that he'd, you know, like homeless people write on the signs, and he'd written a bunch.
He's got a podcast too. He's trying to promote.
He kept on saying, "Well, he wouldn't stay away from us eventually." And he's like, "Oh, good luck with your blog." And I'm like, "No, it's about a podcast." But you know, my toleration of idiots is very, very high. Yeah. So I spoke to him. Natalia had no interest, but he started. He had these big boards that were obviously pre-made, and he's done this type of thing before. He had roses, loads of red roses and petals, and it had the sign that says, make your own potpourri. And then he had these boards, and he was walking up to these girls, a lot of tasty young girls, groups of them, and he would open the sign, flip the sign, open it, it would say, kiss for $5, something else for 10, and he says, take me home, priceless. And he would be like, okay, I'll do all four of you for one. And it was just...
Wait a second. He was charging for a kiss?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't going to pay for a kiss. He was actually charging people for a kiss.
So wow. He's got all of this gear stuff there. And he, talk about bold, he just parked right across next to the cops on the other side.
He didn't go ask the cops? Like
no, nothing. But these boards that he had loads of these boards, and he had a hole in it, and it's almost like fishing wire. He put a pair of gloves on, and he starts spinning these things round... and like a frisbee, like or a boomerang, and then it would come back and wrap around his neck. Jeez. And but he's throwing them at people and spinning them at them, and I'm thinking he's gonna hit someone.
Yeah, something's gonna happen. That's not good.
He hit a taxi. He hit a woman in the arm, and I'm just waiting for somebody to have a big buff boyfriend to just knock him out. Yeah. And then he was throwing it. The behavior was absolutely absurd, and the problem was a lot of people thought he was with us.
Of course, because he was standing right next to
you. He was standing in front of our tent. I was probably very close to saying, listen, mate, piss off.
Yeah, get out of here.
But you just never know. But he did disappear. He said, can you watch my stuff? And he disappeared for at least an hour. And people were just taking his bottles of water, taking his flowers. Oh, look, free flowers. Because actually, he put a sign up saying free. Just, you know, give a donation.
This is not a good business, man.
Yeah, if you were needing a bottle of water, you were desperate to go for this guy. But an interesting week. Debauchery. It just reminded me of a night out in any UK town, but with sunshine.
Yeah. And you know, Rodrigo and Connor there, too. Oh. I did research that. I think he was kind of blowing a little smoke. There's no such thing as Scotland, Colorado. It doesn't exist.
Okay.
So I was like, and I doubt that other guy's kid's name was Aberdeen too. I think he's probably blowing smoke there.
I listen, these guys were out the tree. They couldn't understand me, so it's not as if they were like, oh, that's a Scottish accent.
That's true. Well, yeah. I don't know, maybe they were picking up more than you think,
dude. This is America.
There's no Scotland, Colorado though.
There's no Scotland, Colorado, but I tell you what.
You think he's got a kid named
definitely
Aberdeen?
Guarantee that someone's called a kid Aberdeen. No, absolutely. Highlight of the week though had nothing to do with the golf.
Oh yeah,
my highlight was I went to a proper barber's to get a haircut.
Really? Oh yeah, okay. You are looking a little trim there.
So I walk into this place, and there's an old Russian lady called, I think her name was Berta.
Sounds about right.
And I said, told her what I wanted, and I was reading up that she moved to New York City in 1989. And she obviously knew her stuff. You can just tell. Sometimes you can tell.
She's been around.
You know, like that Chinese lady I had once who put gel on the hair, styled it, then cut it. Yeah, no, this is really
bizarre. They don't train that for that. Yeah.
So we get halfway through the haircut, and she said, would you like hard line? And I went, hard line? What's a hard line? I've never had a hard line. Yeah. And she goes, like this. So it's like, I don't know if you can see that along the side.
It is a hard line.
That's a hard line. Have you ever heard of a hard line?
I have not, no.
So, well, that's a hard line. Now you know what a hard line is.
What all the kids are doing now.
And I did say to her, you know, when you jump in a taxi, what's on a Saturday night, say, what was the first thing you used to say to the taxi driver? Are you busy tonight?
Yeah, make small talk. Yeah,
like what
what are you up to tonight? Yeah. How's money? How are tips?
Yeah, what's the sort of slow talk to a caddy? You know,
yeah, what do you?
You guys been busy this year?
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, we're working. Busy. Yeah.
So,
what else do you do for a living?
I said to Berta, I said, "So, you been busy then, Berta?
Been cutting a lot of hair."
I says, "How many haircuts you done today?" And she looked in the mirror, she shrugged, and she goes, "I don't know. Computer system decide." She was just like so straight faced. But I can't remember the name of the place, but it was phenomenal. That was the highlight of my week because she gave me a shave as well.
There you go. If you're in Arizona or Scottsdale, look up Berta at Sun Barbershop.
They have these barbershops everywhere. It's like a chain. And I always thought, yeah, can you imagine out here in Carmel if they had a proper, you know, Turkish barber?
I don't know about Turkish, but there's a couple proper barbers. I'll introduce you.
So give you a shave?
Oh, yeah. Straight razor shave, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure Addiction in Monterey. Actually, I'll give them a shout out. They cut my hair and trim my beard.
Well, I don't know if that's a good thing, Zabel.
Ouch.
Did I ask the Thunderbird? Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did we find out what Thunderbirds are? Well, yeah. Exactly. He didn't really know the origins.
He was sucking in a vape pipe the whole time.
When I heard Thunderbird, I was like, this guy's like, I'm with the Thunderbirds. I'm like, wow, this guy flies F-16s. I thought he was like a Thunderbird pilot in the Air Force.
Well, do you know the Thunderbirds were actually a puppet show on TV in the UK?
I did not
know
that.
So whenever I think about that, I always think about the Thunderbirds. And there's also a drink in Scotland and probably the whole of the UK that a lot of the young team used to drink. Thunderbird. No. It was I don't think I ever had any, but it was along the lines of Buckfast and Mad Dog. But anyway, the Thunderbirds began in 1937. Okay. The reason they were called Thunderbirds is because the emblem of the Phoenix Chamber of Commerce is a Thunderbird, and that was derived from American Indian symbols.
Wow.
So there you go.
There you go.
Now, there's only 55 of them just now. So there's lifetime members and there's 55 who help.
There's only 55 Thunderbirds.
Yes, who are active at that tournament.
Gotcha.
There's five main guys and then they choose 10. So that makes 55.
Wow.
And then once you hit the age of 45, you become a lifetime member.
Wow.
And they do all the charity work. But I'm just sitting there going, you don't know the origins of your own establishment. Yeah, there's only 55 of you. But, you know, I think he sounded a little bit hammered and he was certainly smoking
pretty
something.
Pretty much everybody in those interviews was hammered.
Yeah. And they dress like Elf, you know, that movie, Elf.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they dress. But it's a horrible, dark purple velvet.
You're talking they being...
The top, with the clothing.
For the Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds.
Gotcha.
And it's like an old Santa belt. Wow. A very bizarre sort of attire. And just so you know, it was 86 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 28 degrees Celsius.
That's warm.
It was ridiculously warm. It was a great tournament. I think Scotty Scheffler won it in a three-way playoff.
He did, which was surprising to me that I couldn't believe that was Scotty Scheffler's first win on tour. That's crazy.
Yes.
And he's going to win a bunch.
He loves a top five.
Yeah. He's always up there. I mean, he's a really good young player. Mm-hmm.
There was a really good push from Tagali.
Oh God, that was heartbreaking to see. Oh man, that kid, I really want to see him succeed. He's fun to watch. Really fun to watch. So he's in the field this week too.
If you get time, check out his story because I believe he borrowed money to drive out.
And he drove his old VW. He got a sponsor's exemption, drove his VW, and then after his finish, he got an invite to
Riviera,
and he drove straight from Arizona to Riviera. So yeah. I'm hoping that he plays well. I mean,
he kind of blew it in the 17th.
He
just
did.
Got a little too much adrenaline and didn't need that amount of club.
And then 18, he blew his drive way right and side hill line, that short right. It was just, oh,
it was painful, but, you know, it was good to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he had a top six finish, I think.
He's a good story. And I'm sure Jim Nance and Sir Nick were very happy that he didn't win it and a household name won it. The event itself, I fear going forward, and you know me, I like a good bit of fun.
Yeah.
And I certainly like a beer. But there comes a point, there were two hole-in-ones, and our pal Jim Hughes, who we'll hear from later, actually did a little interview with him.
Nice.
He works for television, so he sometimes helps with the cameras for CBS or he does it for the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me videos of 16 because he spent a lot of his time on the 16th hole, the Coliseum.
Videos of like debauchery? And
yes.
Oh, nice, nice.
So they have a DJ that kicks things off, and as soon as people tee off in the 10th, there's basically a full-on party going on. for 2 hours. Just kicks off. Perfect. Because as soon as the gates open,
People sprint. People it's crazy. Sprint
and they're dressed in all sorts. They're dressed like bananas.
I saw that. Yeah,
Santa Claus, all sorts of crazy attire. It was fancy dress, mental. But the two hole in ones, and what happens is everyone starts throwing their drinks.
That's crazy.
And it takes half an hour to clean the green.
Now, does it take that long?
Yeah,
I can believe it. I mean, looking at all that stuff. But
well, you could have 30,000 people there, all throwing stuff. Jim said they were throwing full aluminium beers, like cans of beer. They just opened them and
you could get injured. Injure one of those players too. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that chick that works for CBS, Amanda
Belionis. Yeah,
yeah. They were targeting her because she was right below them.
Really?
Well, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Well, when you're full of the sauce and everyone else is throwing it, you'd be like,
you're not throwing a full beer at her. I mean, maybe like trying to splash her, get her wet.
I'm Scottish, so I wouldn't waste it. I would probably have one cup of urine next to me so I didn't have to go to the bathroom. That's how we'd do it, you know what I mean? But I saw Patrick Cantlay on the Sunday hit a putt in 16 green, and it hit two bumps. He played maybe five groups after Ortiz. Ortiz got hit in the back of the head with a...
Really?
Yeah, with a... So... You know, the whole thing's, I think it's kind of gotten out of control. And I don't know how they put the brakes on that because the precedent has been set.
Yeah, that's their spectacle. I mean, that tournament's about.
You know, I know Tiger Woods doesn't go there because he ended up, covered in beer.
Yeah.
And he wasn't impressed with that. But, a very interesting week. Next year, I'll probably go. I'll spend more time in the actual tournament. But very happy to be back to normal life here.
Yeah, and I actually can believe it.
Caddying.
It was interesting too that you a couple of podcast listeners, you ran into some random mental ones that you just didn't know, like the couple from Chicago, like, oh, we've been listening for 9 months.
So that was probably the biggest highlight actually, because
that's cool.
Maybe it was, you know what, I would actually put, I've been working a long time in this podcast, so you know what, Berta gets pushed into second place with her hard line. The meeting people that I didn't know.
Yeah.
There was the Pikey boys, the Travelers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, cousins of people I know. And they came up. There was a guy called Shane who caddies up at Cal Club.
Nice.
And I've never met him. But people saw the tent. You couldn't miss it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Unless the tweaker was spinning those signs. But there was a lot. Over the space of the week, there could have been 40 to 60 people that either I knew or listened.
That's cool.
And would just, come on up, wanted to say hello, meet me. And
that's awesome. That gives us hope.
Yeah, they were listening. A couple of people were like, where's Man Bun? Is Man Bun here? Yeah. And I was like, no.
Hey, what about Zab? Nobody asked about me.
Your father-in-law asked about you. yeah, it's funny. Yeah, your father-in-law texts me looking for tickets. I actually secured some tickets. To go.
He's going to be in that area.
Next thing he says, oh, no, Streelman didn't make the cut. So this... this love affair with Streelman is.
Hey, we're
all in
fans of Streelman. I mean, we're hoping he can turn it around.
Yeah. So, but no, good stuff. If anyone's listening, I'm sure there's a bunch of new listeners. Thank you for hospitality. Hope you all had a great time, and I hope you're enjoying the podcast. We need to tell a few stories from actual caddy life now.
Let's do it.
Now, Zabo, we actually had a couple of jobs. I've got some stories about some other people. Ed from Alaska, had him down a few weeks ago. I'm going to have to put that into a different podcast. Next episode, because he's actually got some salmon company I want to talk about, because he brought us some fish. I'm not a fish eater, but it was outstanding.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't eat fish at all? You ate some salmon?
I ate some smoked salmon that he brought and some stuff that was in a jar. So I need to speak to him about that. Ed, I know you'll be listening, so we can talk. We did have the Perrys in town from Arkansas. Oh,
the Perrys. I love the Perrys.
Yes.
Yes. Mark Perry, Logan, Blake, Charlie, other Charlie, new Charlie that we had this year.
But they brought us some Razorback stuff. So, again, for people that don't know American sports, the University of Arkansas, they're known as the Razorbacks.
They are the Razorbacks.
And it's like a pig.
It is, and it's oddly enough that I brought that pin home, and it was on my hat that they gave us. Beautiful beanie, by the way.
Yeah, they brought us beanies.
And my hats. Daughter goes, "Why is there a rat on your hat?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm not going to tell those boys that."
Yeah. Well, somebody from Texas called it the silly pig, which I thought, oh, again, I don't know the history,
I
but
think
obviously
the
Texas,
Perrys
Arkansas,
will take great offense to that.
Yeah, they were not happy with that at all. Now, Logan. Okay,
a couple
of stories came from this one.
Logan, you knew this was coming.
Yeah, so
you brought this on yourself.
Yeah, he's wearing this jacket.
Yeah. Well, it's more of a dress, but we'll call it a jacket.
Built Golf. I tell you what, if the Thunderbirds are poorly dressed, you know, this is called Built, BYLT. And it's a jacket it's the type that you would see a quarterback wear in the winter.
Yeah, keep warm, yeah.
But it's held together
magnets.
With magnets.
Yeah, magnets. That's their big stick. It's got magnets, and it's supposed to, when you swing it, feel like you don't have a jacket on. You're supposed to feel free. And
yes. Now, it looks also a little bit like a cloak, or if you're getting your teeth done at the dentist, you know, that type of
it does,
round collar at the top and Velcro. I would have to describe it as horrible.
It was pretty unsightly, and I remember it was funny. You were like, hey Logan, how much did that jacket cost?
How much it cost?
And he goes, I don't know. My wife bought it.
Bought it.
We're like, of course she did.
I think his wife actually came out.
Yeah, and that's when he put the jacket back on. He didn't have it on, and she came out. And he's like, oh, whoa.
And I kind of gave her a hard time. I think I offended her actually.
You tend to do that.
It's easily done. It's a translation. His brother as well. That was rather amusing. And when his brother was asked, "What did you get there?" Remember what he said?
Put me down.
He says, "Depends how you're counting."
Depends how you're counting. Yeah. I was like, "Well, I can't." Yeah, that's just an Arkansas thing. Depends on how you're counting.
Yeah, what exactly do you mean? You're playing a tournament.
Depends how you're counting. I count by 1, 2, 3, 4. I count that.
Yeah.
And he was serious too. Depends how you're counting.
Now this is one that completely shocked me because you threw in a curveball on this one.
I usually do.
Do you remember talking about the bananas?
Yes, I do. Yeah. So you want to bring this up or?
I do because I this is completely new to me.
I forget how I brought it up. I know the story of the bananas.
They all ate a banana. They brought a banana.
Yeah, and I said, like, what are you doing? That's bad. I'm not going to take you boys fishing because you never bring bananas on a fishing trip. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like,
nobody knew this.
Yes, it's very bad luck to bring. You just don't do it. It's not done. And you guys thought I was like bullshit, like I was making it up. And I was like, because I just knew this growing up. That's just, it's something you don't do. It's very bad luck on a fishing trip. Either the boat will break, you won't catch any fish. Something bad will happen if you bring bananas on a fishing trip. And look it up. It's true. It dates back to like the 17th century.
Okay. Well, we actually have one in golf. We have a superstition in golf. Do you know what it is?
Well, there's a bunch. I mean, what
don't bring your wife or your girlfriend.
Oh yeah, that's
a guy's golf trip.
That's up there with bananas. Unless your wife is a golfer. I mean, I would bring my wife on a golf trip just because she can probably beat me. But
not remember those guys from Seattle and whatever I carried for, and the one dude brought his wife. On the boys' golf trip.
You don't do that.
I mean, you don't do that.
You don't bring your wife to watch you play golf. I mean, come on. I mean, get out of here with that. That happens way too often. They're just going to walk around and watch you play golf. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of this. I'm not into the superstition thing. This, back in Scottsdale, this couple came up and she says, Can I buy a hat? I went, yeah, of course you can. And she says, $20. And I says, well, you can have one of these ones for $20. One of my cheaper hats.
Yeah.
She went, great. And she hands me this scrunched up and she goes, oh, take it. And she says, it's bad luck.
What's bad luck?
The $20 bill.
$20 bill she had?
Then she walked away. And then I gave it to my wife and then it's currently scrunched up in a jar because she doesn't want to spend it or give it away or do something with it.
Because she's bad luck.
My mom used to be like this as well. You can't put hats on tables or new pairs of shoes on the bed or something, and I deliberately walk under ladders because I'm going to go against all the myth of superstition.
I hear. I'm not very superstition, other than bananas on boats.
Bananas
just
on a fishing trip.
It's not done.
Well, maybe some of the listeners know that. If you do have any questions, actually send them in podcast@glorifieddonkey.com or check out social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, we have to turn our attention to the stuff that's happening in the world of golf right now.
Oh,
this
God.
Saudi Arabia deal. Now, obviously, the AT&T probably had the poorest field ever.
It's awful.
In a PGA Tour event.
Mm-hmm.
It was appalling. I think there was Jordan Spieth, who has to be there because his major sponsor is AT&T. Yeah,
Patrick Cantlay was Cantlay. There. I mean,
he was a very good player, but
a lot of good tour players, but you didn't like have
Peter Jacobson.
Yeah, Peter J. That was actually a unique story. You saw what happened there. That was his last professional tournament he was going to play, and you saw who caddied for him.
Who?
Fluff. Mike Cowan caddied for him. He caddied for him in his first tour win. His first tour start was at Pebble Beach, and Fluff was on the bag. And his last tour start, Pebble Beach, Fluff's on the bag.
No place for sentiment, I'm sorry. Some rich executive's company paid a lot of money for
him to shoot 77, 78, yeah.
I was going to say closer to 80s. And, you know, come on, Peter, retire. You already retired from the PGA Tour. You need to retire from the Champions Tour now. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah,
I hear you.
Yes. But so it was poor.
I thought it was cool.
It was very poorly attended from the top players because a lot of them were in Saudi Arabia.
Correct. And then Phil that week put out that statement bashing the PGA Tour, which I heard from a couple of tour players, a couple in my group, and I heard grumblings that not too many tour players were happy about that. You know, you're biting the hands that feed you. You're going to talk about greed, Phil Mickelson. You're going to talk about greed in the PGA Tour. Without Tiger Woods, you'd have about a tenth of the net worth that you have. You're $500 million. Yeah, if that. Your private jet that you're flying around in. Yeah, okay, great. Saudis want to give you $100 million. Maybe you'll get a little better jet. But come on, man. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. And now Mickelson doesn't care because where is he playing now? He's on the Champions Tour. Yeah, he won the PGA last year. But where is he now? He's like, shit, if I can grab another $100 million for the next 5 years, I'll go and play on that tour.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to see him. I'd almost guarantee you see Phil Mickelson sign with the Saudi Tour.
100%.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the early 90s in England. When the Premier League came along and took over from the First Division, the Sky Sports money came in, and people say, "Oh, it won't happen," and then it just completely reinvented football.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to reinvent it, but I mean, it's the most interesting time I think in professional golf that I've ever seen as far as things that are happening. I mean, this is unprecedented and crazy because I think you're right. Guys are going to jump ship, and I think you're going to see big names. I think, you know, the rumor is that Bryson DeChambeau, as of today, did. I mean, that's not officially confirmed, but I think if anybody does it, he will. And
yep.
Good riddance to you. We're glad to see you go, but I think a lot of other guys are going to leave. I'm just curious to see what the ramifications are. PGA Tour, I think they'll be banned, but will they be banned from Augusta?
Here's one for you. This is interesting.
Okay, let's hear it.
Now, this is episode 85. There's another 84 previous to this. So if you drive a lot, you travel a lot, you enjoy it, go back and listen. I got text from Justin Wallace, my pal from Cal Club tonight.
Yeah.
He says, listen to the number 80. I believe Zabo was incorrect about the Saudi Tour.
What did I say about it?
That if you joined the Saudi League, you wouldn't be able to compete in majors. Okay. Now he says the US Open and Masters are not PGA events.
Correct.
The US Open is a USG event that anyone can qualify for, and the Masters is an invitational. So you're going to get into two. The British Open, they're not going to take Bryson DeChambeau.
Absolutely not.
See,
but I think there was informal statements made by the USGA, by Augusta National, that we're going to back the PGA Tour on this.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see, because if that's the case, I think a lot more guys will jump ship. I think Augusta and the USGA probably has a good chance at stopping these guys from jump ship if they say, I think that's why you probably haven't heard a formal announcement yet from Bryson, because he's probably saying, well, let's make sure I can still play in the Masters and at least the US Open, because I don't want to lose that. And the British, I mean, certainly they're going to lose the PGA. They're not going to be able to play in the PGA, but we'll see if Jay Monahan backs down. He might back down. If enough guys jump ship, he might have to back down.
I think it's good to have something else in town. And if I don't really care either way. You know, I don't have a huge opinion about it, and it doesn't really matter. If I was in that position, you'd probably take the money.
Yeah, I hear you. I probably would too. I think it's bad for the PGA Tour. I do think it's bad for the PGA Tour, and I kind of do care, but I think you're right. If I was in that position, guarantee me 100 mil for playing. I mean, that's not even, they're talking about just giving these guys that money for playing, not even just for playing, performing. Even, like, you come and play, we're going to give you this money. Why wouldn't you?
There's something happening with Saudi Arabia and sport where they're trying to improve their reputation around the world via sport, which, you know, right or wrong, that's what they're doing. You just take the Premier League football. Now, Manchester City were bought 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there years ago. And the royal family that bought them were worth about, they're worth about £25 billion. Okay? Huge money. They've done an amazing job. They're actually, unlike a lot of the American owners, like the Glazers or Stan Kroenke at Arsenal or Henry at Liverpool, the folks at Man City are actually investing their money. They don't care if they make money or not. They have so much of it.
Yeah.
And they're looking to leave a legacy, which is great. Now, Newcastle United just get bought. Now, it went through. There was a lot of people concerned about the ownership, etc. But what you then had were the Newcastle fans calling Man City poor because the new owners of Newcastle, or the financial backing, are worth something like £340 billion. Pounds compared to Man City's 23.
What does it matter at that
well,
level?
Well, it doesn't matter, but my point being, I was talking to Rich Beam last week about this, and he says, oh, no, they could throw some more money at this, whatever. I said, if you want to go two of these guys, there's only one winner, because, you know, $2 or $3 billion to these folks, nothing. They can soak it up for 10 years, and the PGA Tour will not be able to do that.
It's true.
If it comes down to money, they will not be able to compete.
It's true, but I'm curious to see what kind of draw that the Saudi League actually gets. Because if you get 5, if you get 10, if you get 15 of the top premier PGA Tour players, still, what is that tour going to look like on a week in, week out basis? I mean,
Well, they might be looking at a different market. They might be looking at a Chinese market. They might be looking at an Indian market, or whoever's going to buy TV rights.
They're looking
to
at
that.
Every market, because you know people in the U.S. are going to want to see this tour. If we have people like Bryson DeChambeau, some people actually like to watch him play golf. Me personally, no,
I love watching him. Okay, well, it's fascinating, and I think it will, over the next 6 to 12 months, it's going to really change.
It's like I said, I think this is the most interesting time in golf, and I'm very curious to see how it develops. It could go a number of ways, but
it kind of mirrors just life, though. You know, I mean, money talks and everything. Whereas we're entering corporatism as opposed to capitalism, in my opinion. So, you know, it's you can't criticize, because everyone's an expert until you're in that position.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, bell end of the week. We actually
have. Are we bringing it back? We haven't done a bell end
in
a while.
Haven't done it in ages. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play another clip. This is from our pal Jim Hughes. He's the guy, the caddy with the ponytail. So I actually stayed.
One of the caddies with a ponytail.
It's a ponytail.
Yeah, it's not a man bun. It's a ponytail. It's a proper ponytail.
Proper. It needs chopped. I stayed with Jim. He's got a place in Scottsdale. So I stayed at his place. This is what he had to say for his nomination for a bell end of the week.
Okay.
Name?
Jim Hughes.
Occupation?
Camera assistant.
Tell us about your week at the Waste Management.
Well, my normal deals, you know, caddy professionally with you guys, but last 2 weeks I've worked for PGA Tour Live doing a camera assist job, which basically entails running a tripod around, moving a cart, getting batteries, identifying players, following golf balls, that kind of thing. Great event down at Waste Management, other than the absolute bazillion amount of people that you have to drive around and through. Spent about 20 hours of my week of 60 or so on the 16th tee. Three beer showers, missed one of them because I was on break for Ortiz's hole-in-one, but pretty incredible. 20,000 people on one hole. Gladiator style.
Do you think they will have to have some rule changes for next year at 16?
Yeah, I think they're going to make them all throw paper cups instead of aluminum bottles and cans at us if there's any hole-in-ones. There's got to be something changed. People got hit. They're throwing freshly cracked beers. Like, they have to take the top off, but after that, they'll throw them full drinks, ice cubes, cleaning up lime wedges off the tee.
It's like the Gaza Strip.
Pretty much, you have to watch yourself. I ran straight to the wall and took cover. Those savages, they don't pour them on us, they throw them at you. So.
Now, you are a regular podcast listener, and you have a suggestion.
Yeah, I have a suggestion for the bell end of the week for the professional ranks there at the Greater Waste Management Open.
Who's that?
John Rahm.
John Rahm, old Rahman.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, we had a little incident with Mr. Rahm on the 13th hole. I was moving the cart and the sticks, the tripod up to the green. My cameraman was right behind him in the bunker. John hit a great shot, but he's well known to the cameraman. Camera people that if he hits a bad shot, he looks for a guy. Well, he had a good shot, and we had a new director, and my cameraman basically held it on John's reaction the whole time, and John stared a hole through the lens of the camera. Director didn't pull my cameraman off. Next thing you know, my cameraman's saying, "Are you trying to get me killed? Pull me off the shot." We go on break. Three holes later, the director comes back and says, "You're no longer allowed to film reaction shots of John Rahm."
Wow, the big facade.
Yeah, you guys watch golf, you see there's always a down the line shot, the top tracer, there's always somebody on reaction, there's always another camera trying to follow the ball where it lands, and no more reactions. So all you got to see of John Rahm this week was his shots and him waving at the crowd and the kids, and you don't see him flipping off a cameraman or berating a cameraman behind the scenes. So definitely qualifies, in my opinion, for bell end of the week.
Perfect. I'll ask Sabo about this one. I'm gonna go with you. You got to go with the professional insight.
Absolutely.
Perfect, Jim. Thanks for your listening. We'll have you on at some point.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
So there you go. Just a big facade. It's okay. Not, you know, obviously happy to.
Smoke and mirrors. I mean, yeah. It's like I want you to see what I want you to see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at me. You know, what is it? Shaking hands and kissing babies.
Yeah. Signing autographs.
But if you don't want me to see, you know, lose my mind. So
Hit better shots and you won't lose your mind as much.
Very true.
Well, I gotta throw out my good friend Charlie Hoffman. Did you see what transpired with Mr. Hoffman this past week?
Yes.
Please tell me you saw that.
I did actually. He
You know what, Charlie? You're absolutely right. Please join the Saudi Super League. They're just dying to have a guy like Charlie Hoffman on that tour. They're dying to have a superstar, the superstar that is Charlie Hoffman, that is just so impressive and such a good human being. You should be over there in Saudi Arabia.
Hoffman hit the ball into a water hazard.
He did.
He then takes a drop.
He did.
It rolls in again.
It did.
And he gets another penalty.
He did. I was so happy about that.
Dude. That's absurd.
That is absurd.
It's absolutely absurd.
That is absurd.
And
I agree. I actually agree with the sentiment of his statement. But he's like, this is why people are going off to Saudi Arabia. There should be competition, and I'll see you later. It's like,
just put the gun down, Charlie.
And he did. Did you see him walk it back the next day?
He walked it back and he deleted the post.
And he was riding in the waste management truck saying, thank you for all that you do and the PGA Tour is great.
Oh, what an idiot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do agree with him. There's with certain things, that certain rules. The one rule I think they need to change is if you hit your ball in someone else's divot on a fairway, I'm sorry. You got to get relief from that.
Can't disagree with you there. That is ridiculous. To me, if you hit a fairway, it should be like hitting a green. Mark your ball and clean it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You hit the green. We for years and years and years. I mean, we hit the green. We mark it. We clean it. We fix the pitch mark. If you hit a fairway, it should be the same thing. I mean, why should absolutely. It be different?
That's shocking. You shouldn't be punished for.
You should have the perfect lie that you want to have in the fairway if you hit the fairway.
Well, thanks for your opinion in that when Charlie Hoffman does not when he comes runner up because, you know, Jim put me up for the week. So, Jim.
Yeah, I can agree with that too. I mean, at least Charlie walked it back, Rahm. You're just kind of a.
I don't know. Like, these guys, again, people look up to them. They're just people. But
well, he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch. I mean, he is. He is one of the best in the world. He is fun to watch play the game. I mean, he is really good.
But what a bail end. You know what I mean?
Agreed. But most of these guys are
slam clubs, snap them. Who cares what the people are saying? But it's all about the image, and that's why people like
Protect
John Daly
my brand, bro.
That's why people like John Daly.
Yeah, what you see is what you get.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's it. We do no mailbag, no time for mailbag questions this week. But if you do have any mailbag questions, as I say, send them in on social media. Or podcast at glorifieddonkey.com. please go back, listen to the previous episodes. When I mentioned Rich Beam, he agreed that he would come on.
Perfect. So, I want to be there for that because you've heard my Rich Beam story. I want to see if he remembers. He was so drunk, I don't think he does remember it. Okay. But I bet you there might be bits and pieces that he remembers.
Lovely.
It's pretty good.
That will be coming up in the next 2 to 4 weeks when he's not working for Sky Sports. So he's happy to do that. In the meantime, myself and Zabo are in the middle of a four-day job.
We are. We're going to talk about this one after it's finished. Man, yeah. We got some material on this one.
You come down 18 today and said, oh, I hope you're ready for that guy. He's trying. Zabo's
trying
to swap
for
players.
Him tomorrow.
I'm trying to swap players.
I'm standing by that. You're caddying for him tomorrow.
No. You'll be looping for him tomorrow.
Oh, God.
You'll come through. But listen, thanks very much for coming over this evening. Your input in the AT&T.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Better luck next year. And anyway, guys, listen, thanks very much for listening. Get out there. Please give it a like, rating, review. You can actually review in Spotify now as well. But until the next time, get out there, enjoy your golf, but more importantly, keep it humble.